Man by the name of Joe Salter ran a triathlon, or did a triathlon, in 1 hour and 57 minutes. Now, this particular triathlon he was in, I'm not an expert on triathlons, but this one he was in, he swam a quarter of a mile, he ran 4 miles, and then biked 16.4 miles. Now, that's impressive enough, but what made this more impressive is he did all that while juggling. The entire time, he was juggling. I can think about, you know, running and juggling hard, but, you know, you've got both your hands. I can see how that's possible. While he was on his bike, he juggled with one hand and steered with the other. But then I got to thinking, swimming, how did you swim and juggle? Well, he did it, and I have a picture to prove it. This is how he swam the entire time, on his back while juggling. And here's the amazing thing. The entire time, he only dropped a tennis ball 3 times. All that time, did that entire triathlon, only dropped the tennis ball 3 times. Running, again, would be hard. All of this would be hard, but juggling on top of that just makes it that much more challenging. And the reason I mention that is because I know that some of you came in here today feeling just like you're living your life that way. You're running, you're struggling, and juggling all these things at the same time, trying to make it through life. This struggling, running, juggling life. I mean, you know, some of you think about that, and you're asking the question, you know, have you seen my house? Have you seen my kids? Have you seen my work schedule? Have you seen my, you know, taking the kids everywhere they need to go schedule? Just the crazy, fast-paced, day-to-day, juggling, running, struggling life that many of us encounter. All of us, I think, to some degree, can identify with this stress-packed life that this describes. And some of it works out. Some of it really does. Some days, everything falls into place, and it just works out amidst all the craziness. Somehow, it just falls into place. Some days, though, we drop the ball, right? We mess up. We aren't able to get something done that we are supposed to get done or that we feel that we're supposed to get done. Sometimes we drop the ball. And most days, we're just worn slap out from this pace, this running, juggling, struggling pace of life that we all encounter. And there's this thing inside of us in the midst of all of this craziness, and even if we haven't named it, there's this thing that we're missing that if we could have, we would be able to settle in and relax in the life that God has called us to. And that thing is peace. A lot of what we end up missing in the pace of life, especially when we add a bunch of stuff that really doesn't need to be there or have to be there, we think it does, but it really doesn't. What we end up doing is we end up longing for peace. Even if we don't realize that's what we're longing for, that's what we're longing for, peace. Because even when our schedules are crazy and life is crazy and it's outside of our control, if only we could have the peace of God, then we would be able to rest in the craziness that we're experiencing that's outside of our control. Peace. Think about this word, peace, or this four piece: green pastures, quiet waters. It sounds kind of like a resort, doesn't it? Somewhere, I don't know, somewhere out in the Midwest somewhere. Green pastures, quiet waters. And peace itself is even a great word. It even feels good to say the word peace. Peace. It even kind of sets you at ease, you know, if you just say it. It's a great word. But it seems sometimes impossible in the race of life that we all live, that we all run. But it's not. And the reason that we know it's not is because peace is not a feeling. Peace is not the absence of troubles. Peace is not escaping reality. Peace is not those things. Peace is a person. Peace is who the shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. Peace is who the shepherd is. And peace is what he provides. It's not something we can manufacture on our own. It's not man-made. And it's not the absence of conflict or the absence of struggles and running and juggling and all of those other things. It is what Jesus provides in our lives when we are following him and depending on him as our shepherd. And some of you, maybe for the first time in a long time, have the opportunity this morning to walk out of this room feeling a peace that you haven't known for a long time or may have never known. I think there's something in this for all of us, but some of you are longing more desperately for peace than others. And you have the opportunity to have, in the midst of that struggling, running, and juggling life, a calmness, a peace that you desperately need. The title of today's sermon is The Shepherd's Peace. We're in the middle of this series called The Good Shepherd, where we're walking verse, word by word, through the 23rd Psalm. And if you remember, it's a danger for us because we know this psalm so well, we're familiar with it. That's a danger because we have a tendency to just kind of read through it. And so the challenge for all of us that we've said for the past couple of weeks is that we need to approach this psalm as if we've never read it or studied it, like it's the first time we've ever seen it, as we walk word by word through this 23rd psalm, like it's brand new. King David wrote this psalm. He's an older man when he writes it, and I can tell you right now, David understands the running, struggling, juggling life. Okay, he's been through a lot in his life. He knows ups, he knows downs, he knows heartaches, he knows victory, he knows losses, he knows what it's like to chase a dream, he knows what it's like to wait on God's plan for his life and to not understand what's going on in life while he's waiting. And even when that plan is being fulfilled, he understands what it's like to deal with the pressures of life, the victories of life, the disappointments of life, the grieving in life. He knows it all. He understands what we encounter. He is writing this after having lived a full life with all of those things. And then he's looking back, once having been a shepherd, he's now looking back over his life and saying, let me tell you how my shepherd has provided for me throughout life. David used to be a shepherd, and in the 23rd Psalm, as a shepherd, David had spent countless hours caring for sheep, and now in the 23rd Psalm, David is a sheep looking at how his Lord, the shepherd, cares for him and has cared for him throughout his life. Remember, the 23rd Psalm, again, is from the perspective of sheep. He's been a shepherd, but he's telling us from the perspective of a sheep, looking at his wonderful shepherd and telling us how wonderful his shepherd is. And remember, the foundation of the 23rd Psalm flows from those first five words: the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord, the amazing, all-powerful, no error, no equal, God of the universe who created it all. He is the Lord, but he's also our shepherd. The God of the universe, holy, righteous, separate, is also close and personal and intimate. He's my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. This isn't a religion that we make up in our heads where we have to be good enough to please a God. No, this is a personal relationship that I have with the God, my shepherd. And that word is represents the fact that it's not that he was my shepherd, it's not that he's going to be my shepherd, that every day, all day, every day, he is my shepherd. He walks with me, he provides for me, he guides me, he guards me, and he protects me through life. And of course, we know that Jesus is the shepherd of Psalm 23. He is our Savior shepherd who walks with us and provides for everything that we need to accomplish his will for our higher good and for his eternal glory. And as his sheep, we need our shepherd. We can't make it on our own. We know that sheep are pretty much dumb. They are helpless. They are hopeless. They are lost and easily destroyed without their shepherd watching over them. And we as sheep desperately need our shepherd to protect us and to guide us and guard us through life. And that's why verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord will provide, again, everything that we need to accomplish his will for our higher good and for his eternal glory. And now the rest of the 23rd Psalm, the verse 2 all the way through verse 6, is David as a sheep saying, let me tell you about the blessings and the benefits when you have the Lord as your shepherd. This is the Psalm 23 life, and essentially David is saying that nothing compares to the Psalm 23 life. When the Lord is your shepherd, nothing compares to that. Jesus as your shepherd. The 23rd Psalm is a fresh, needed word for our modern world. It's a fresh, needed word. We're familiar with it, but we got to approach it as if we've never seen it, because it is a needed word for our world today. And it speaks directly to the conflict, the cares, and the confusion of contemporary life. That's why it is so needed, because, you know, the circumstances may change, but problems pretty much transcend generation. They're at the core of the root of our problems. There's a lot that we have in common with David and all that he experienced in life. This psalm shows us that through our shepherd, we can face life with calmness, courage, and confidence. And today we're going to look at verse 1 all the way through the first part of verse 3. We've already gone deep into verse 1, and today we're going to dig a little deeper into verses 2 and the first part of verse 3. David, from the perspective of sheep. Now, sheep in the Bible lived in what is called the wilderness. And so when he's talking about green pastures and calm waters, quiet waters, as we dig into this, it's going to make more sense. But let's read verses 1 through 3 of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Now again, sheep in the Bible lived in what they call the wilderness. When you think wilderness, don't think just all desert with nothing else, okay? And there's plenty of that in the Middle East. But there were also these places that had vegetation that animals, sheep in particular, could eat. This wilderness was, yes, an uninhabited area, and the only people that you would find there were basically nomads that never settled anywhere. But in the midst of this wilderness, there was this wild vegetation that sheep could eat. But again, it's a dangerous place. A lot of people traveling through, no one settling, some unruly characters, but also a lot of wild animals out there as well. Animals that wanted to attack sheep and feed on the sheep. David even said he had to fight a lion and a bear while he was a shepherd. So a lot of dangerous animals in this place. So sheep, they can't make it in the wilderness on their own. They desperately need a shepherd. They need food, they need water, they need rest, they need protection, and they need someone to guide them and guard them and protect them while they are getting these things, and to lead them to these places where they could eat. They are clueless, helpless, hopeless. They need a shepherd. The wilderness itself is not a peaceful place, okay? The wilderness itself is not a peaceful place. But peace, again, remember, not a place. Peace is not a place. We tend to think that if I'm in this place or that place, I'll have peace. But peace is not a place, because we're reading about how you can have peace in the midst of the wilderness. The wilderness itself is not a peaceful place. Peace is a person. The sheep, don't miss this, the sheep have peace because they are in the presence of their shepherd. Where they are, not peaceful, but who they're with, because they're with their shepherd, it makes it possible for them to have peace in this unpeaceful place. The shepherd is their peace, provides for them the peace that they need. And that's exactly what Jesus does for you and me. Jesus is peace. He said in Isaiah 9:6 that he's the Prince of Peace. The Bible says he's the Prince of Peace. He is peace. In Ephesians 2:14, it says he is our peace. He is peace, but he's our peace. If we want peace, we can only find it in him. In John 14:27, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." He gives us peace. And it's all this is possible because we have peace through Jesus Christ. Paul says in Colossians 1:20, through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus makes it possible for us to have peace with God because through his death on the cross, his sacrifice for our sins, once we were at war with God, we were enemies of God, but because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can now be friends of God and we can be at peace with God. So through Jesus, he is peace. He's our peace because he gives us peace. And he makes it possible for us to have peace because of his death, his sacrifice for our sins. And what this means for the saved believer in Jesus is that in this exhausting, running, struggling, juggling, pressure-packed life, what it means is that in my heart, in the midst of all of that, I can know peace. I can have peace. It doesn't mean I won't get confused. It doesn't mean that life will never hurt. It doesn't mean that it won't be difficult. It doesn't mean that I won't have stress. It doesn't mean that life is going to be easy, but it does mean that I can have calm and contentment in my heart in the midst of all of those challenges of life. I can have quiet satisfaction deep within me. Because I trust my shepherd. He's in control, and he is going to be my shepherd. He is and is going to be my shepherd every step of the way, all the way to heaven. Now look again at Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. There are three things the shepherd provides so we can experience his peace in our daily lives. The shepherd's peace, he provides nourishment. He provides nourishment in life. Psalm 23, verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, sheep need food and water. If they are hungry or thirsty, they are going to be restless. They will not be at peace if they are hungry or thirsty. We can identify with that, right? If we are hungry and thirsty, peace is not a word that we, at least I know my kids would not use to describe me, all right? Sheep are not going to be at peace if they are hungry or thirsty. And David knew that, so as a shepherd, he would intentionally lead his sheep to green, lush pastures so that they could eat, and he would lead them to quiet, calm waters so that they could drink. Once they had their stomachs full and their thirst quenched, they were no longer restless. It was at that point they would be at peace. They were satisfied. They were at peace. And that's the picture that David is painting for us. Once a shepherd, now a sheep. That's the picture David is painting for us of how our shepherd, the Lord, takes care of us. How he quenches that thirst that we have. He satisfies that hunger that we feel. That's the picture of what Jesus does for you and I, his people. That's what the Lord, my shepherd, does for me. How he quenches the thirst, satisfies my hunger. Again, a picture here. Now, he absolutely, God does, Jesus provides food and water that we need, but there's a deeper spiritual meaning here. In Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3, we have a spiritual thirst and we have a spiritual hunger. And if we don't have that spiritual thirst satisfied, quenched, and if we don't have that hunger satisfied, if we are not filled spiritually, then we are going to be restless. We are going to not be at peace. But the shepherd knows the water that we need. Look at verse 2. It says, quiet waters. He doesn't guide the sheep to raging waters where they'll be swept away while they're trying to drink. He doesn't guide the sheep to stagnant waters where when they drink it, they'll be sick. Now, he guides them to quiet waters. And there were these streams that would run through the wilderness, and typically they would be pretty fast. Not a great place for the sheep. Remember, they're not smart, so not a great place for the sheep to get close to and eat or drink. But every so often, the streams would go to these areas where there might be a lot of rocks, and the water would back up a little bit and form these pools of water where the water was still and quiet. And that's where the shepherd would take the sheep so it would be safe for them to drink that nice, cool water. The shepherd would lead them there. Spiritually, Jesus is the one who quenches our thirst. In John 4:10, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. He gives us living water to quench our spiritual thirst. And then in verse 14, the same passage, he says, whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. So to receive peace, we have to drink continually from the fountain of Christ. Our shepherd also knows what type of food we need spiritually. He guides them to green pastures, it says. And that phrase, green pastures, is a picture of brand new springtime green lush grass. It's the perfect place. We cooked out this past Monday for Memorial Day. And Saturday, we went to Aldi's and got some steaks. Mandy, we got some potatoes. I grilled the steaks. Mandy baked the potatoes. And I know y'all love it when I talk about food this close to lunch. I'm going to counter that in a minute, so just hang with me, okay? You'll see. But we had steaks and baked potatoes, and you know, that may possibly be my favorite food, steaks. I love steaks and potatoes, but steaks, I love it. And if you were to ask me what's your favorite food, that probably would be one of the first things out of my mouth. Now, if I had a couple of sheep up here, and we asked them, what's your favorite food? It would not be steaks, it would not be pizza, it wouldn't be tacos or hamburgers or whatever, spaghetti, pasta. If you were to ask sheep, what is your favorite food, hands down, or paw, do they have paws? Paws, whatever. It would absolutely be green, lush, fresh, springtime grass. Not just any grass, but this type of grass. Hands down, their favorite food would be grass. They love green, fresh grass. And remember, the Judean wilderness, this is a semi-arid area. It's not all just, you know, abandoned desert, but a lot of it is. And so when we're talking about this semi-arid area, the shepherd has to go and find these patches, these areas where the green, lush grass is growing. The sheep are not going to find it on their own. They have to follow the shepherd. This is a picture. I remember a few years ago, we went out west and we flew into Las Vegas. And that is pretty much a destitute area in terms of desert everywhere. And when we would, maybe even when we were flying in, but we would be driving around and it would be nothing but desert and rocks and brown and all this sort of thing. But every now and then you would drive by somebody's house and your attention would go to this beautiful green grass that somehow either it was fake or it was sod that they watered incessantly. I don't know, but somehow they would get this beautiful green grass to grow out in the middle of the desert. You might pass a golf course, the same thing. Somehow they're getting this beautiful green grass to grow. Everything else around it is brown and looks dead, but you've got these areas where you find this green grass. So picture that. Think that way about the Judean wilderness. A lot of brown, a lot of sand, a lot of rocks, but then occasionally there are these areas where this green, lush grass is growing. And the shepherd knows where those areas are. And he leads the sheep to those areas where they can feed on this green grass. The shepherd knows, and this is a picture, of course, for us, of the spiritual hunger that we have. And God provides. He's the only one that knows where the green grass is. He provides the green grass that we need to satisfy the spiritual hunger that we have deep in us. And it's called the Bible. It is the Word of God that we are to feed on daily. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on the very word that comes from the mouth of God. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Your words became a delight to me and the joy of my heart, for I bear your name, Lord God of armies. When we are nourished by God's word, just like sheep eating green grass in a field that gets his stomach full, when we feed on the green grass of God's word, it nourishes us and it brings us peace. It brings peace into our lives. Psalm 119:165 says, abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction, your words. Nothing makes them stumble. So the sheep of the 23rd Psalm are at peace. David says, I've been nourished. My thirst has been quenched. My hunger has been filled. I've been to the quiet waters. I've been to the green pastures. And do you know what happened? David gives us a secret here. He tells us the reason he is at peace and the reason that thirst, that hunger was satisfied is because he just simply stayed with the shepherd. The secret to having peace is being with the shepherd, because the shepherd provides for everything that we need. In this crazy, running, struggling, juggling, exhausting world that we live in, the key to peace is this. We have to spend time daily with the shepherd. If you're missing peace in your life, then the first place you need to look is, how much time am I spending with the shepherd each day? I'm not talking about just going through and checking a list. I did my Bible reading this morning. No. Spending every day, quality time, all day long with your shepherd. Not all day long with your face in the Bible. Yes, there's time that needs to happen every day. But all day long in communion, following the shepherd, letting him guide you and guard you, protect and provide for you. Every day, through submission, through worship, through prayer, we have to drink of the fountain of Christ. And every day we crack open our Bibles and we eat the green grass of God's word. Every single day. This verse really sums it up for us. Isaiah 26:3. You, God, you will keep the mind that is dependent upon you. That's us. We are dependent upon him. You will keep the mind that is dependent upon you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Are we trusting? Are we dependent upon our shepherd? We are. Have we acknowledged that we are dependent? Look at that verse in the ESV. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. In other words, I'm not just drinking a little drink, having a little bite to eat. I'm steadfast. My mind is stayed on my shepherd. I'm spending time with the shepherd. I'm drinking from the fountain. I'm eating the green grass that he provides. I'm stayed on him because I trust in him, and I trust in him because he's my shepherd. Oswald Chambers took that verse in Isaiah, and he gave us this great question. He asked, is your mind stayed on God or is it starved? If it's not stayed, it will be starved. Nourishment happens when I'm stayed, when I'm dependent. I've spent time with the shepherd on a daily basis. I'm walking with the shepherd. I'm drinking from the fountain of Jesus Christ through worship, through submission, through prayer, communion with him. I'm feeding on the green grass of God's word through quiet time, through devotional reading, through study of God's word, through memorization, through meditation on God's word. I'm feeding myself on the green grass of God's word. And when I am nourished, when I'm stayed on him, that's when I have peace. On the other hand, if I'm starving myself, if I'm just getting a little bit here and there, maybe once every Sunday, then I'm going to be hungry. I'm going to be restless. I'm not going to have that thirst quenched, that hunger filled, and I'm going to certainly not have peace. I'll be juggling. I'll be running. I'll be struggling. I'll be just plain exhausted. Whereas with the shepherd, I'm still running. I'm still struggling in areas. It's not all easy. I'm still juggling. But in the midst of all of that, I have peace. Even when I am exhausted, it's an exhaustion with peace and contentment, calmness, quiet. This is us. Look at verse 2 again. It says, it's plural. It doesn't say beside quiet water. It says waters. It doesn't say green pasture, it says green pastures. It's plural. This is not a picture of one and done. One time a week's not going to do it. Just once every day is not going to do it. It's every day, all day long, walking with my shepherd, continually drinking from the fountain of Christ, continually feeding on the word of God. That nourishment, that's the nourishment that satisfies us. Sheep are ruminants, and what that means, they have four stomachs. So those of you I made hungry just a minute ago, here you go. I'm gonna fix that right now, okay? They're like cows, right? They have four stomachs. They will eat grass, they will swallow it, and it goes into the first stomach. And once they've gotten some nutrients out of that, they will regurgitate that grass and chew on it. It's called chewing the cud. And they're getting every bit of nourishment out of chewing that they can. And once they've chewed the cud for a while, gotten that nourishment out, they swallow it. It goes into the second stomach. And here you go. The second stomach sucks out all the juices from chewing the cud to get, again, every bit of the nourishment that they possibly can out of that grass that they're eating. And then after getting all the nourishment out of the grass in stomach two, it then goes to stomach three, where they get more nourishment out of that grass that they have swallowed, regurgitated, chewed, swallowed again. It moves to the third stomach where more nourishment they get out of that. Then it goes to stomach four. And after that, we all know what happens. I'm not going to describe that here this morning. But here's the point. When sheep are lying in a field, not grazing or eating, they're still getting nutrition. When they're chewing the cud over and over again, they're getting nutrition. They're getting every ounce of nutrition they can out of the grass that they're eating. Their body is extracting every ounce of nutrition out of what they've eaten that it can. And I love this picture, except for the regurgitation, possibly. I love this picture for us because it's a picture of what has to happen in our lives if we're going to get every bit of the nutrition we need out of God's word. When we are studying the Bible, when we are feeding on the Word of God, it's not going to be one Bible verse or one sermon or one podcast that we're listening to that's going to satisfy us. We have to chew on the Word of God. We have to roll it around in our hearts and our minds. We have to talk about it with other believers. And yes, we do need to listen to sermons and Bible studies and all of those things. But it's not just one of those things. Meditation, memorization, study, devotional reading. We are squeezing through that process. We are squeezing all the nutrition we can out of God's word. It's not one, it's all of those things. And only then, when we are doing that regularly, only then will we have that hunger satisfied that exists in all of us. The sheep have peace when they are nourished, plain and simple. And the only way they're nourished is to spend time drinking from the fountain of Christ, spend time drinking or eating, feeding on God's word. So do you want peace? Ask the shepherd to give you a thirst for him and a hunger for his word. That's where you'll find peace. You know, the sheep find peace when they're lying in a field. It's because they have had their thirst quenched and their hunger satisfied. And God has given us the Bible. It's up to us whether or not we're going to feed on it. We can say it like this. The shepherd has provided green pastures for the sheep. He will not force feed the sheep. When the sheep's not eating, we know what the shepherd does. He tackles him, forces him to the ground, puts him in a headlock, forces the grass in his mouth. No, some of you are believing me right now. That's not going to happen. The sheep just follow the shepherd. He leads them to green pastures and they eat. It's up to them to eat. They're not going to pass it up, but they still have to eat what he provides. It's up to us to feed and to drink from what God provides. Everything we get out of the Bible depends on how much time we spend in it. Whether or not our thirst is quenched depends on how much time we spend drinking from the fountain of Christ. Let's finish up here. The last two things. The shepherd's peace. We find rest. We find rest. He provides rest so the sheep know peace in their lives. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, sheep eat and drink standing up. They're also hesitant to lie down because in the wilderness there's dangerous animals, and if there's a lion, they have a lot harder time getting away if the lion attacks. So if they are lying down, it means they feel safe, they feel satisfied, their hunger is satisfied, and they feel safe in the presence of their shepherd. That's the only time they're going to rest, and it all is because of the shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. That word quiet, it literally means waters of peace or restful waters. He leads me beside waters, not in the water up over my head, not near the water where I can see it but can't drink of it, beside quiet waters where I can have my thirst quenched. It goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It's, don't get in your mind that the shepherd is forcing the sheep down. No, the circumstances are perfect. It's the perfect place to drink, the perfect circumstances. And the natural result, what that literally means is it causes me to lie down. Everything has been provided for me, so the natural result is that I'm going to be at peace. The shepherd has the perfect plan. He's not shooting from the hip here in Psalm 23. It's not like, well, I know they need water. Maybe we'll find some somewhere. I know they're hungry. Maybe we'll just happen across this green pasture. No, he knows where he's going. He's got the perfect plan to meet our needs. And the journey to get to the quiet waters, by the way, in the dangerous wilderness may not be easy. Every day's journey is going to have challenges. But the quiet waters and the green pastures are the perfect place. The perfect place, the perfect pasture, the perfect pool. And as sheep, we don't have to understand the journey. We don't have to understand what's going on while we're getting there. All we have to do is stay with the shepherd and keep following him and eat and drink what he provides. What does the shepherd do for us? The sheep, they are nourished. They lie down. They can feel that cool green grass on their full little bellies. Our big bellies, and they rest. And here's a thought for us. We never get second best from our shepherd. Jesus does not give us second best. Whatever the pool and the pasture he sets us by is the perfect place. What he brings into our life or he allows to enter our life, it may be hard, it may be confusing, but I can tell you it is the perfect place for us to accomplish his will for our highest good and his eternal glory. Because we trust him. The shepherd's in control, and I'm not just following him. I know and trust that the shepherd is going to lead me all the way to heaven. His plan is best. I can lie down and rest. No, I didn't mean to rhyme, but it'll help you remember it. What we do, though, sometimes we put ourselves in positions where we think we know better, right? That pasture over there looks greener. That water looks better, but we have to trust that the Savior's, the shepherd's plan for us is best. And don't miss what God wants to do in your life by thinking you know better than him and getting ahead of him or lagging too far behind. Follow him, trust him, because the place he will guide you to will be perfect. We will find rest. He is good. He is faithful, and he provides rest. Finally, in the shepherd's peace, he provides renewal for us. He provides renewal. Look at the last part, or the first part of verse 3. He restores my soul. That word soul literally means my person or my life. It's a great Bible word. That word restores. It's the word shub. The Hebrew word shub. And what it means is to return to a starting point, to renew, to refresh, or to repair. We see an example of shub in Genesis 8 where Noah sends the dove out to see if the flood waters are still on the earth. And then I think it's in verse 8 or verse 9, the dove returns back to the boat. So it returned from where it started. That's the idea here. It means to return from where we started. And all of us, even the most spiritually more mature believers, we are still deeply involved in this exhausting, running, juggling life that we live. All of us need to be shubed every now and then again. We need to be restored. And that's what this is talking about. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we fall flat on our faces and we need restoration. Sheep need to be shubed from time to time. They need to be restored, renewed, put back on their feet. This is, for all of us, this is revival is what we're talking about, but sheep literally need this. There's something called cast sheep, and I've got a picture that I want to show you of this sheep that is cast. They are like turtles. When they get on their back, they cannot roll back over onto their feet. It's pretty pitiful, actually. If you see a sheep in the cast position, their legs are just flailing and there's nothing they can do. Sometimes they've got too much wool. They haven't had their wool cut. They are sheared, and because of that, they can't roll over. Sometimes they themselves are too big and they can't roll back over. But what happens is they lie down and the ground's uneven and they roll over. And once they get to a certain point, they cannot be set. They cannot set themselves back on their feet. They need the shepherd. The shepherd will come to where they are, place his arms underneath the sheep, and lift the sheep back onto its feet. You know, we all find ourselves in that position. Can't get out. But here's the thing. If we are with the shepherd is never more close to the sheep than when they're in this shape. Because he picks them up. He cares for them. He actually touches them to get them back on their feet. Every shepherd knows that any sheep can find, even the best in their flock can find themselves in this shape. We all can find ourselves in this shape. And the shepherd is never more close to the sheep again when he's doing this. That word restore in verse 3, it's in the perfect tense. In other words, you know, Jesus has restored us when he paid the price for our sins, but there are going to be times in life, even as believers, where we're going to need restoration. We mess up, we take our eyes off the shepherd, whatever, we stray. And we need to be restored. So here's the question. Are you worn out? Have you blown it? We all have. The shepherd will shub you. He will restore you. In 1 Peter 5:10, not on the PowerPoint. It's not on the PowerPoint. It says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He will restore us if we will depend on him and trust him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The blessings of green pastures, quiet waters, a restored soul, the shepherd provides so that I can experience his peace. And here's the key that ties it all together. For peace, sheep must stay with the shepherd and not stray from the shepherd. You may not have peace because you've strayed from the shepherd. So stay with the shepherd. Be with the shepherd. Follow the shepherd. Because the reality is, submissive sheep stay, but stubborn sheep stray. There's a story from a couple years ago. It's just humorous. From a place from South Windsor, Connecticut. A story from South Windsor, Connecticut. A 32-year-old guy by the name of Eric Cormier had gotten up in the morning. He was about to get ready for work. He hears his dog barking. And so he goes outside and he sees a sheep in his front yard, okay? So he goes outside and he's thinking, okay, what in the world's going on here? So he calls animal control and he tells them there's this sheep outside in his front yard, and they tell him, yeah, there's a local farm nearby. Several sheep got out and we're trying to track down the owner to get these sheep back to their owner. So, you know, Eric starts getting ready for work and he notices when he opened the front door that the sheep is standing at his front door wanting to get in the house. But he goes ahead and starts getting ready for work. About an hour later, he goes outside and he sees once again the sheep still standing there. And so he gets ready. About 2 hours it took him to get ready. He's getting ready to leave, and this sheep is still standing at his front door. Here's a picture of the sheep standing at his front door waiting to get in the house. 2.5 hours the sheep has stayed right there. Well, Eric's worried about the sheep, so he calls animal control back and he says, listen, I gotta go to work, but I'm gonna move this sheep into my backyard. It's fenced in and the sheep will be safer back there. So tell animal control when they find the farmer, this is where it's at. The sheep does the same thing in the backyard. He goes to the back door and he stands there and he waits. Eric goes on to work and he starts worrying about this sheep. All right, so he stays at work about 2 hours, and then he's worried about this sheep, so he goes home, and the sheep still in the backyard, standing by the back door, waiting. He figures, well, he must be okay, so he goes back to work all day at work, like 8 or 9 hours. Eric is at work. He comes back home at the end of the day, and here's a picture he took of the sheep in the dark that night. Same place, standing by the back door, wanting to get into the house. Animal control finally got in touch with the farmer. They got this sheep back to its owner, so it's fine. But this sheep stayed all day in the same place wanting to get into this house. Would not move. That's how stubborn sheep are. It wanted what it wanted, which was in that house, and it was not going to move until either somebody moved it or it got what it wanted. Sheep tend to be stubborn. The local news wrote a story about this, and here's the headline of that. This is word for word the headline. Stubborn sheep wanted to get into Connecticut home, and it wasn't taking no for an answer. That's the headline. Still standing there in the dark, same spot. Sheep had run away and strayed from its shepherd. It had run away. He finds Eric's house, and all day long just stands there. Stood, stared, hour after hour after hour. I want what I want, and I'm not going to move until I get it. Think about this. Not once did that sheep lie down. Not once did that sheep rest. It didn't know what was going on because it had strayed from its shepherd. Stubborn sheep stray from the shepherd, and as a result, that sheep was not at peace. It was away from its shepherd, and it wasn't getting what it thought it wanted. Stubborn sheep who stray from their shepherd have no peace. Submissive sheep who stay with their shepherd have peace. Even in this crazy, running, struggling, juggling, exhausting life, you and I can know peace if we submit to and follow Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.